Ambassador Bush, Mr. President.
Hello?
Mr. President.
Hi, George.
How are you, sir?
Well, I thought that was a fine vote that you were able to get out there yesterday last night.
Well...
How do you feel about it?
You're nice to call about it. We felt very, very good about it.
And yeah.
Given the editorial attacks on our policy...
Yeah.
I think we can use this, which I'm trying to do at a noon briefing, to point out that we're not... Indeed, it's not us who's isolated from world opinion on this.
No. Well, the thing that I think, George, is very important, and I hope we can get some of our tigers, if we have any, in the House and Senate, particularly the Senate, to speak up on this. We're not anti-Indian we're not anti-Pakistan. We're just anti-aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
And basically, if you want to put it, we're not pro-Pakistan or pro-Indian, but we are pro-peace. And in this instance, it would seem to me you wouldn't have gotten this kind of vote with both the Indians and the Russians were lobbying the other way, weren't they?
Oh, strongly. And,
yeah.
And all they got was their Iron Curtain. I mean, they didn't
get right.
any, and they've lost Romania on that.
And they lost Romania. What do you attribute the big vote, George?
I attribute it, Mr. President, to the fact that there was total agreement on the principle of ceasefire and withdrawal, which, you made fundamental what was
sure.
part of it. And the fact also that India, in spite of its sanctimony, was really the aggressor. And
everybody, you mean most, do most people in the UN realize that, George?
They totally realize it. And that point is the point, maybe I could be helpful by talking to any senators or those that you want would like to publicly carry the ball to counteract some of the criticism, because I can give them personal assurances, or I could give them a statement they could put in a record coming from us, or anything that would be helpful from the, because on the UN end, we got strong support through Africa and through the Arab country. Of course, it hooks in on their view to the Middle East, you see. I mean, they're saying ceasefire
sure.
and withdrawal.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of that, yeah.
So there was a strong groundswell.
Yeah.
The minute we made our resolution, in the first resolution, the U.S. resolution that got beat 11-2, many ambassadors, not on the Security Council, that have never voted with us, Zambia, Tanzania, Morocco, came up and said, we ought to go with the General Assembly. This is an excellent position. We don't sometimes vote with the U.S., but you're absolutely right. So,
well, doesn't it sort of indicate that India's support, apart from Russia's, but India's support in the U.N. isn't all that great then? Because, God, you know, the Indians put on this sanctimonious peace, Gandhi-like, Christ-like attitude, and they're the world's biggest democracy, and Pakistan is one of the most horrible dictatorships. I wonder why that... Yeah, I noticed that, for example, it shows you how the decline of morality among the intellectuals, where they say, well, the United States has really taken the wrong position here, because there are 600 million Indian and only 60 million Paks.
Yeah.
Well, now, what the hell? Does that determine what your position should be?
I don't know. The thing that they're overlooking, the intellectuals, and they want to overlook it, and it is the fact that they asked me the question up here. I said, look, we're talking about war and peace. We're talking about invasion. We're talking about 150,000 troops in the other guy's country. And
that's
correct. The point that where the United States is right. We're
that's
trying
right.
to stop that. We're not whitewashing Yahya. And I
no,
think they're being unfair on
we,
it.
We can simply say this now. We have used used our influence, and we've had considerable success in getting Yahya to welcome UN observers, which the Indians had before this all occurred, for the refugee problem, and getting him to agree to a civilian thing, and agreeing even to contact with the Mujib deal and all that jazz. But that's one thing, and we are not we have used all of our influence that we can there. Also, we have tried to use our influence with India in this respect. But that whatever this is, the criticism of the West Pakistan or of Yahya's government may be, and a lot of that criticism is justified, it does not justify resort to invasion of another country. If we ever allow the internal problems of one country to be justification for the right of another country, bigger, more powerful, to invade it, then international order is finished in the world. That's really the principle, isn't it?
Yes, sir, and that's it. But that's it. That's the fundamental.
And that's why those people
vote.
I think all the editorial opinion and so forth, a lot of it you have to understand, George, is not just pro-Indian. They just want to get a chance to take a little shot at us. Don't you think so?
I think so. I asked a columnist, Charlie Bartlett, about this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, George, you got to understand, he said, back in Kennedy's days, that Kennedy spent more time on India and the mystique, and they know they didn't like us, but it was a kind of a liberal mystique.
Sure.
And this thing, so I think we're fighting some of that.
That's right.
It thrown up to us in the Security Council that quoting this Anthony Lewis editorial by the Indian, one of them, he mentioned you by name, and I climbed on him. He said the Nixon administration, and I asked for a right of reply, and I told him, look, I realize there are great tensions in the world, and I certainly could excuse the ambassador for being under great pressure, but I consider this an attack on the president, and I said it just isn't fair. And he kind of backed off, and the next day quotes another editorial, you know, some damn New York Times editorial, kind of hiding behind that to attack us. It's an old trick. But
the idea, too, they've done such ridiculous things. One of them was saying, well, Nixon is really anti-Indian because the Indians were not courteous to him when he was out of office.
Oh, really?
Well, bullshit. Hell, they couldn't have been more courteous. I mean, you know how the Indians are. They play up everybody. When I was down there, Christ, they had me stay as a guest to the government when I was out of office. I met Mrs. Gandhi. Of course, I'd knew her before, and I'd always... But all this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
What really is the case is that India's hands are not clean. They're caught in a bloody bit of aggression. Now, it's true. It is true that as far as Yayas are concerned, there's no clean hands there either. I mean, they handled us very clumsily, very badly. But India knew that efforts were being made to conciliate it, and in spite of that, in spite of assurances that we were working and we'd made some progress, in spite of even an offer on the part of Yahya to withdraw from the border unilaterally in East Pakistan, they proceeded to go in. Now, that is a pretty damn lousy record. That's what Henry's backgrounder was designed to prove.
Yeah, I've got it in front of me.
Well, anyway, you're doing great, and the main thing, as I say, all this yak, I think if you can constantly emphasize that world opinion is, it isn't a question of being pro-democracy or against or anti-democracy. It's not a question of being for 600 million as against 60 million. Aggression is wrong, and the size and the difference in size between countries does not justify it. The difference in systems of governments does not justify it. Aggression on the part of a democracy, if it is not justified, is just as wrong as aggression on the part of a dictatorship. I'd put it as coldly as that.
Yes, sir.
It is aggression that is wrong. That's what the UN is built upon. After all, those goddamn communist countries are all, if they engage in it, it's wrong on their part. But if a democracy engages in aggression, it's wrong. You know, well, anyway.
Thank you, sir.
You'll do well.
Well, I really...
You'll knock them dead.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Goodbye.